You've accessed the audio file called Section 106 in a nutshell. Hi, and welcome to the wonderful world of Section 106 compliance. As noted elsewhere on the State Historic Preservation Office, or SHPO, website, the phrase Section 106 refers to a particular section of the piece of federal legislation known as the National Historic Preservation Act. The National Historic Preservation Act, a major piece of cultural resources law in the United States, accomplishes a tremendous amount of business. For purposes of the current discussion, however, we will limit ourselves to the part commonly referred to as Section 106 compliance. In short, Section 106 requires that federal agencies or their designees, quote, take into account, close quote, the potential effects of federal undertakings on historic properties, that is, sites, buildings, structures, objects, and/or districts that are either listed in or eligible for listing in the National Register of Historic Places. Those listed or eligible resources versus those that are not eligible are what we are referring to when you see or hear the phrase historic properties. And these properties may be archaeology sites, architectural or engineered features, or even cultural landscapes and traditional cultural places. So, if there is a federal undertaking, by which we mean a project that makes use of federal funds or requires a federal permit, license, or other approval that has the potential to affect historic properties, then Section 106 is triggered. In order for federal agencies or their designees to be in compliance with federal law and regulation, they need to follow the provisions outlined in this part of the National Historic Preservation Act. If federal agency or their designees fail to comply with federal law and regulation, then they are known to be out of compliance. That is, they have not obeyed the law, for which there may or may not be repercussions, but that's not really something in which SHPOs are involved. Instead, our focus is on reviewing and commenting on federal agency determinations regarding a proposed federal action. While admittedly a broad overview, what I'd like to provide here is a four-part approach to Section 106 review and compliance in which the federal agency or its designee is in the driver's seat making all the determinations, which are then passed along to the SHPO for review and concurrence on their adequacy, or further conversation known as consultation will occur until that concurrence is possible. Here are the four parts. The first is to define the undertaking. The second is to define what's called the area of potential effect, or APE. Third, engage in an identification effort, that is, figure out what's out there. This may be already known because the area has been previously inventoried, or conversely, it may require some sort of an inventory effort. And then once the agency knows what's out there in the APE, it will make determinations of eligibility for those resources. And fourth, the agency makes a determination of effect for the undertaking as a whole. The documentation, and this can be the forms, the maps, the photographs, the inventory report, and the project correspondence for this good faith effort to quote-unquote take into account the project's effects to historic properties is then organized into a coherent fashion. A transmittal letter is written up to accompany the packet, and the whole thing is mailed off to the review and compliance staff at the State Historic Preservation Office for review. Upon receipt of a complete packet, and we provide guidance elsewhere on this site to ensure that all the requisite information is provided for a review, the SHPO is then afforded a 30-day review period in which to carefully review the materials and the federal agency determinations. Within that time frame, a review and compliance staff member, or perhaps members, plural, depending on the range of resources encountered in the APE, then complete his, her, or their review and reply in writing to the federal agency, providing concurrence wherever possible, requesting additional information or clarification of unclear or internally inconsistent points. This overview makes the Section 106 process sound deceptively simple, and that is not necessarily always the case. As these projects are often large, they may be multi-agency, heck, sometimes they're even multi-state, And they do, in fact, have a lot of sort of moving parts and a fair few resources out there oftentimes, and they take a good deal of care and attention. Assembling a Section 106 submission for SHPO review can be a somewhat daunting task. Our best advice, especially for folks who are either entirely new to the process or who only rarely prepare such packets, is to read through the guidance offered on this website, avail yourself of the reference links and training opportunities referenced here so as to improve your familiarity with Section 106, and then contact the review and compliance staff for a pre-consultation meeting about your upcoming project, about the decisions for which your agency will be responsible, as well as discussion of the materials to include in the submission packet for review so that our staff fully understands the project, the decisions that the agency has made and how they were reached, and we can all land in the same place.